see that we're turning in God's Word to Proverbs in the chapter number 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Just praying what the Lord would have me to speak on at the service. And there's a verse that the Lord has laid in my heart, and I simply want to leave it before you, bring the gospel, and trust that it'll be a blessing to God's people. And for those not yet saved, the Lord will speak even to your heart. Let's just read the first six verses. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his soul. It is an honour for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plough by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, Lord, in this part of thy word in the book of Proverbs, that, Lord, every single sentence, every proverb has a sermon in itself. And we pray, Lord, as we look at one of these verses tonight, that thou wilt open our eyes and behold wondrous things out of thy law. Teach us, we pray, O Lord, about what it means to be saved, and, Lord, the necessity of being saved and the security of being saved. Lord, we pray that tonight thou wilt minister to each heart, from the youngest to the oldest in our gathering. Lord, while in others thou art calling, do not pass us by. Lord, I pray you'll empty me of self and of sin and fill me with thy Spirit and give me help to proclaim thy truth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The verse that the Lord has laid in my heart for tonight is verse number 6. And it says, most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And it's that little thought, really, a faithful man who can find. And there's three very simple thoughts I want to leave with you tonight on this topic of the faithful man. First of all, the Bible speaks about faithful people. The Bible speaks about faithful people. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and just keep your hand in there, for we'll turn to a few verses tonight. But here in Ephesians chapter 1, we find that the word faithful is used to describe a certain people. It says there in verse number 1 of Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now the saints and the faithful are not two different groups of people. They're the same group of people. He's just using two descriptions of what it is to be a Christian. Those who are saved are saints, and in this instance, they're dwelling at Ephesus. And those who are saved are called the faithful in Christ Jesus. And the terms are interchangeable. They essentially mean one who is saved, one who is a Christian. But here's the description: saint, meaning holy one, and faithful, meaning one who is true. One who is true and trustworthy. Now, this word faithful means one who believes, or a believer. It means to be sure and to be true. And therefore, it's used to describe the Christian. Now, if you turn over a few pages to the book of Colossians, it's also used there as he describes the Christians at Colossae. Look at verse number 2. And it says there, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints. So not only do we have the word used, but we have a description of what the faithful are like. And it tells us here that there are those who are trusting in Christ. They have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 4. But they're also marked because they have love to all the saints. They love those who are saved. they love the brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's a mark of the faithful in the scripture. But you'll notice also as we go down this chapter, there's some other marks of the Christians. It says in verse number 13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's a description of conversion. And therefore, the faithful that are referred to in the opening verses of Ephesians and Colossians are those who have been delivered from darkness. And they're now living in the light, the glorious light of the kingdom of God. Look at verse 14, in whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The faithful are those who have been redeemed and those who have been forgiven. Isn't it wonderful tonight to be able to say, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My sins have been forgiven. They are no more remembered against me. They are forgiven forever, and God will not remember them again. So there we see the name being used, the faithful. But if you turn back with me to Proverbs, I want you to show something of the characteristics of the faithful. The characteristics of the faithful. And here, if you turn to Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 11, and we read that the faithful are those who are wise with their words. Look at verse number 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So the person is wise with their words. They don't tell other secrets and those personal confidences that people have placed in them, but they're wise with their words. They conceal the matter. When they promise not to tell someone, they don't tell someone. Not only that, if you look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 5, another characteristic of the faithful is they're honest in their speech. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will offer lies. So someone who's faithful will not lie. And that ought to be a mark of the child of God. We ought to be truthful in our speech. A faithful person is trustworthy in their behavior. And just flick over there to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 19. And it's a wonderful description. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 19. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious of the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. And I have got the wrong reference there. Turn with one more reference for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2. And this is our final reference in relation to the faithful. It says, moreover, it is required in stewards, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2, that a man be found faithful. And the Lord gives us responsibilities as Christians. And there are those in this church who have responsibilities for leadership, for teaching, and other various roles within the work of the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that it is required and assured that man be found faithful. And that's why it's important that you pray for the office bearers in this congregation. Because we need the help of God to be faithful. We need the help of God to stand by the work and to do what's best for the work and to be faithful to the Lord and to the congregation. Also, in your calling to be a member of this congregation, you ought to pray that the Lord would keep you faithful to the work. Keep you faithful to the witness of this congregation. And you see, when a man is found faithful and a steward or one with responsibility is found faithful, and really anyone who's a Christian has got responsibility, because you're the responsibility of being a light in this world, of being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, it is required that you be found faithful. And that faithfulness will be a blessing to those around you. It will be a blessing in your church. And I'm thankful that tonight we've honored a man who's been faithful. And it's interesting, whenever you look back over some of the photos of the history of the church, there's several of the men here, and they're standing out with shovels digging out, parts of the foundation of the complex over 30 years ago over there. But thank the Lord, they're not only labouring physically in the congregation, they also labour spiritually in the congregation. They have been faithful. They are still in the work of the Lord. But turning back to our text tonight in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, yes, the Bible does speak of the faithful. But looking at this verse, we can also say mankind often proclaim themselves to be good. Look what it says in verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. You see, we're not born faithful. We're not born as Christians. We're not born saved. We are born as sinners. Now, how do I need to prove that to people tonight? Well, turn to the news. Turn on the news tonight. And what is the news really? It's an account and a record of the sins of the land. Whether it's murder, whether it's drug dealing, whether it's something that harms another with the likes of war or famine or all of these different things. And we see nothing but sin being found, reported on day by day. Open the newspapers. But we don't have to do that tonight. We don't have to turn on a television or open a newspaper to see the reality that all are sinners. All we need to do tonight is look at our own heart. And there's not one of us can stand up and say we are without sin, that there is nothing in our life that is displeasing to the Lord. And that's the reality. And I wonder if you ever come to a point, if you're not saved in this meeting, where you've realized you're a sinner. And you've said, I am a sinner before the Lord. You see, rather than admit and confess their sin, most people will do the following. They will overlook their sin. They'll think it's not a problem. Well, it's not really affecting anybody else, so I'll just live whatever way I want to. But the Bible tells us that all sin is against God. And the Lord is offended by our sin, because man was not created to be a sinner. He was created to have fellowship with God. And therefore, those who overlook their sin overlook the fact that they are offending God and overlook the fact that they'll stand before God one day and give an account of their sin. Some try and explain their sin, to rationalize it, to view it in a different way than the Bible views it. Oh, well, that's just the way society is now. If the Bible says it's sin, it's still sin today. If the Bible says it's wrong, even though it was written over 2,000 years ago, it's still wrong today. You can't explain away sin. What God says is true and eternal, and it's by that which you will be judged. We've even some who will deny they're sinful. Some people are offended. Me? A sinner? Oh, I try my best. I try to be a good person, etc. They even try and to outweigh maybe the bad things in their life by doing good things. And they think, well, I've done many more good things than I've done bad things. And therefore, you can't call me a sinner. I'm one who's tried my best. But notice what this verse says. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. And there's the problem. If you stand before the Lord on the day of judgment and all you have to proclaim is your own goodness, I'm telling you tonight, you'll be cast into hell. That's the reality. If your own goodness is all you have to bring before the Lord on the day of judgment, you'll be cast into hell. There's not one of us has any goodness to speak of in our sin. The Bible says even our righteousnesses, the good things we do, are filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. Why? Because we have a sinful heart. They come from sinful people, and all we can do are sinful things. There's nothing good or holy or pleasing to God about a sinner. Your sin offends a holy God. God is angry with the sinner. The Bible tells us that. The sinner is condemned. And the sinner is separated from God. And yet, in spite of our sinfulness, God loves the sinner. We sang a few moments ago, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Oh, God loves sinners. A friend, if you stand before him in your sin on the day of judgment, if you die upon this earth as a sinner, that sin will be punished. That sin that separated you from God in life will also separate you from God in death and in eternity. And never will you have the opportunity to be reconciled to God. We see an example of this in Matthew chapter 7. Just turn over for a few moments. And in Matthew chapter 7, we see one proclaiming to God his own goodness. Verse number 21 of Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, here's a people who felt that they had lived good lives, even religious lives. They were doing religious activities. They were doing things that anybody else would stand back and say, well, that must be a Christian because of the things that they are doing. But how does the Lord sum them up? He calls them, ye that work iniquity, in verse 23. Imagine living a life, being religious, trying your best, giving to the church, being baptized or confirmed or christened or whatever it is. And yet, at the end, standing before the Lord and hearing the words, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, all those things that that religious person is doing, that religious sinner is doing, they're good in their eyes. But they mean nothing in the eyes of the Lord if the heart isn't right. And therefore, tonight, I'm not asking you what church you go to. I'm not asking you how much money you give in to the church. I'm not asking you if you're baptized or anything like that. What I'm asking you is this. Have you ever repented of your sin and called on the Lord to save you? That is the will of the Father. That we repent and believe the gospel. How terrifying to think that there's many, and the Bible says there in verse 22, many. Many who feel they're okay today. And many who believe they'll be okay in the future. But the reality is they're just a heartbeat from hell. You see, we all must stand in the judgment. We all must stand before God. And the question is this, have you done the will of the Father which is in heaven? And what is the will? That all men would come to repentance. That's all that matters tonight. That's what divides this congregation tonight. It's not nationality or church affiliation. It's not if you're this, that, or the other. All that divides this congregation tonight is that there are people who have repented from their sin and called on Christ to save them, and they're the faithful. And then there are those who are not saved. Now, which are you tonight? Which are you? Are you saved? Will it be that on that day the Lord will welcome you, receive you gladly because he knows you personally as your Savior? Or will it be that you will be cast out of his presence with the words, depart from me, I never knew you. Thank God, whenever you ask the Lord to save you, the Bible says we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we're called to no longer be what we were, but now to live a faithful life unto the Lord. And God's people strive to do that. But how often do we fail? Is it not every single day? By our thoughts and our words and our deeds, we do and say and think those things we ought not to. And we feel the guilt and the uncleanness of that. Thank God for the words of 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's a wonderful verse because it was written to Christians. So Christian, when you sin, you confess it unto the Lord and pray for cleansing. That's not to be saved. Because salvation, that justification that is given, is a once for all work. You're saved immediately. You're saved eternally. You're safe and secure in Christ forever. However, you want to have clean hands. And you want to have a pure heart. That you might walk closely with the Lord. And that's why we confess our sin. That's why as soon as we feel that pulse of conviction over something we know we shouldn't have done, that we say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me of saying that thing. Forgive me for doing that. Forgive me of thinking that. Lord, give me clean hands and a pure heart. The people of God are called the faithful. And every single one of us should be faithful in some measure. But let's go back to our verse tonight, because it asks the question in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3. A faithful man who can find. And we've thought first of all tonight about the fact the Bible speaks about faithful people. And we have thought about the fact that mankind often proclaims themselves to be good and faithful, even when they're not. But finally tonight, we want to think about this. There's only one who can truly be called a faithful man. There's only one that's ever lived in this world that we can truly call the faithful man, without fear of contradiction, without fear of being disappointed or let down, because he is the one who is so faithful that we can rest our life upon him. He's the one that's so faithful we can rest our eternity upon him. And he's faithful in three ways, and with this I want to close tonight. He is faithful to his witnesses, to those who are saved. Isn't God faithful? We can think of the fact that he has said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why is there a church standing here in Muckerfelt tonight, still preaching the gospel? It's because God is faithful. Christ is faithful. He will build his work. Anything that has been done through Christ. It's been done by Christ. And to him is all the glory ascribed. Not only that, but he has given a wonderful promise to his people, to his witnesses. And that wonderful promise that you know so well, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. And there are times when the church has to go through the fire. And there are times when the church has to go through the flood. And the witnesses of the Lord, whether it's the minister or the Christian or the missionary. And there are times we have to face those things that we wouldn't personally choose. But the Lord says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine, and I will be with thee. That's the faithfulness of the Lord. See, whenever things maybe are difficult in our lives, maybe people forsake us. Sometimes whenever difficulties and trials come to a church, people forsake it. But the Lord's faithful. I'm glad that he's faithful. I'm glad that his hand is upon his work. I'm glad that the Lord will build his church. I'm glad that in a day whenever the fools of this earth say, well, you know what, Christianity, born again, evangelical Christianity, that's a thing of the past. I'm glad that the Lord said he will build his church. And that the threats of the wicked, the agnostic, the atheist, those who set themselves against God. You know what God's doing tonight? He's not worried. You know what the Bible says God is doing tonight against those who think they'll do away with God and the gospel? He's sitting in the heavens. He's laughing at them. Laughing at them. Because they're like grasshoppers. And they think they can change and thwart the plans of God. God's faithful to his witnesses. God is faithful in his works. God is faithful in his works. Turn to Psalm 33. And this is a wonderful thing. Whatever we think of the works of God, I suppose the first thing we really ought to think about is the work of creation. And we turn to Psalm 33 and we think of verse number 6. Psalm 33, verse number 6. And it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Listen to these words. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The works of the Lord are faithful. You know, the earth that the Lord created just over 6,000 years ago, that earth that is the perfect distance from the sun to facilitate life, that continues to spin in orbit, that continues to supply everything that we need to exist, that earth that God created is still where God has it to be today because he holds it by the word of his power. You see, the works of God are faithful. And then we think of the work of revelation. And in your hand tonight, you hold a Bible. And friend, this is a faithful word of God. God has given a message from heaven that those whom he has created, who are born in sin, can be saved from that sin. They can be ready for heaven. They can be the friend of God. They can be saved and satisfied and joyful in Christ and know that when they close their eyes in death, there's nothing to fear because he'll open them in heaven as a child of God. Oh, he's faithful in his work of revelation. We have everything we need in this Bible for our salvation, for sanctification, for everything we face in life. But I want to say this, God is also faithful in his salvation. Because the work that he promised to do, he has completed. Christ has died upon the cross of Calvary and bore the wrath of God against sinners. He suffered the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. And therefore there's nothing left to be done other than for the sinner to call upon the name of the Lord and they will be saved. And that brings us to my final point tonight. He's faithful to his witnesses in his church. He's faithful to his works, but he's also faithful to his word. God is faithful to his word. When God says something, you can depend upon it. I know there are many people that maybe said things, I will do this and I will do that, and you have to say they've let you down. We all can say we've all done it, haven't we? With good intentions, we said we would do something, then something stepped in, and it just wasn't possible to do it. But never so with the Lord. His word is perfect. It will be fulfilled in his time, in his plan, and you can depend upon it. What does he say to his people? Follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. And I'll tell you, those who have followed him, truly followed him, and walked in the footsteps of Jesus, you know what you'll find them doing? You'll find them seeking to win others. Because if you follow the Lord, you'll get a heart for others. He says in his word, I will guide you. And how true we can say tonight God has been, how faithful he has been. Many he has guided to come into membership in this place, and we thank God for that. Many decisions have been made in life, and we can truly say the Lord has guided. We were thinking just a few weeks ago about that verse. He said, I will give you rest. And how many times we can say, whenever we've been overwhelmed and just everything's been going on, we've drawn aside at the promise of God and he's given us rest. We think of that promise, I will come again. He's coming again. You be sure on it. The word of the Lord is faithful and true. But there's one verse I want to leave with you tonight. It's a very simple verse. It's a verse I use almost every Sunday. It's a verse that I think summarizes so clearly the salvation that is needed in the heart of men and women, boys and girls. This is the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But preacher, how could I depend upon that? How could I be sure that that verse is true? I'll tell you why. Because this is the word of God. This is not the word of this preacher. This is not the word of some denomination. This is the word of the one who created the world. This is the word of the one who is sovereign over all things. This is the word of the one who saved many in this gallery. And we were singing with all our hearts tonight a few moments ago, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory to the Lamb. Why were we singing that with the smile of the Lord? Why were we singing that? Because God was faithful to this promise. And maybe there's someone tonight and you fear death, and maybe you feel the burden of your sin, and maybe you feel unclean tonight because of your sin. And maybe the Lord has been speaking to you over this week, and maybe the Lord has been challenging you even this day, and you know you're not saved, you know you're not ready, and you know you're on your way to hell, and you want the matter settled tonight. Well, here is a promise of God, of a faithful man, Christ Jesus. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, you'll not call and find him turning away, because he's faithful. You'll not call and find him unable to save you, because he's faithful. And friend, you'll not call tonight and be disappointed. There's not one in this meeting will stand up and say, I called upon the Lord too many years ago and I wish I hadn't. No, you know what the greatest regret in life is for many? That they didn't do it sooner. So therefore, tonight, before you go any further, in the body that God has given you, with the mind and the health that God has given you, with the practical gifts and the blessings you have tonight in this land, before you go any further, will you be saved? Will you be saved? Will you be saved tonight? Will you say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and this night I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me and take my sin away. I want to know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I want the burden of sin to be lifted, and I want to start living tonight. Praise God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The verse says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Friend, we've nothing of ourselves to proclaim tonight, only that we're sinners. But a faithful man who can find, we've found him tonight in Scripture. And by his Spirit, he's standing in this meeting saying, come. Come unto me. Will you come tonight to Jesus? Will you come and be saved? I know the joy of sins forgiven.